Jeremiah was referred to as the weeping prophet because he had to weep a lot for God's people, for their disobedience and the results of their disobedience, which of course was God's chastisement and eventually to be taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And tonight God is again pleading with his precious children, as he pleads with all of his precious children regarding obedience. So beginning in verse 1 of Jeremiah 11, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant, which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, Obey my voice, and do them. According to all which I command you, so shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. That I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I and said, So be it, O Lord. Then the Lord said unto me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the city streets of Jerusalem, saying, Hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not." So, Broken My Covenant is the title of our message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We pray for your presence in this service. Lord, that you would use your word in our lives tonight to truly speak to us and work a miracle in our spiritual walk. And may you be glorified and lifted up. We are just so grateful for this privilege, and we love you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So God uses the word covenant in this chapter 5 times. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 6, verse 10, and verse 8. Because when God called his people and rescued them from Egypt, he made a covenant with them. Covenant is essentially a promise, but it was an agreement, if you will, between God and his people. And the covenant wasn't complicated. Basically, if you will obey me, I will bless you. And if you will not obey me, I won't bless you. And that covenant has been in place now for a very long time. If you go to Deuteronomy 11, we'll get a better understanding of how it works. But it is a covenant of obedience in God's people. And we'll see tonight that God made the same covenant with us the day that we got saved. A covenant of obedience. So notice Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. God speaking to his children, he says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you've not known." So notice he said to Israel, this is in Deuteronomy, Moses was speaking these words, God was speaking them through Moses, and this was just prior to going into the promised land. They've been rescued from Egypt. They have walked the desert for 40 years. And God says, here is your covenant. Your choice, blessing, curse, obedience, disobedience, not complicated. And Israel, of course, made a promise to God and said, we will obey you, we will follow your word, we will do what you've told us to do. And they didn't. And God had to pour out the curses after pouring out the blessings initially, because they disobeyed in so many ways initially, in not wiping out all the nations in the promised land. And then when that happened, they befriended them, and then they started worshiping their gods, and things just went downhill from there. But when we got saved, we chose, as we talked this morning, to take Jesus Christ as our Lord. Did we not? We even referred to him in our salvation prayer as the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope we did. Because that verse in Romans 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It says, for with the mouth confession is made in salvation, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But how many of us know Romans 10:13? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word Lord, like we talked this morning, that's not just some word. That is the title of Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. And Jesus made a statement in Luke 6, if you want to turn over there, please. He asks a question, and it's a very sobering question for God's children, for us, because we should stop and contemplate our answer to the question. It has to do with His Lordship in our lives. Now, doctrinally, He's already our Lord. That's a done deal. But is He our Lord practically? That's the question. God was already the Lord of Israel, but they didn't let Him rule their lives. They didn't follow His commandments. Notice Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What a question. Short little verse, but Jesus could always say a lot in a little, in a few words, couldn't He? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why refer to me as the Lord or the Master and not obey? And so essentially, when we chose to take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we made a covenant. You are now my Lord. You are my Master. I am your servant. And if Jesus Christ is our Master, then we have an obligation to obey. Just like Israel had an obligation to obey. And you go back to our passage. Did you notice twice in this short little passage, verse 4 and verse 7, God said, here's what I told you, obey my voice. Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? How many times do we have to say that to our children? Obey my voice. Why should God have to keep saying it over and over to us? 1 Peter chapter 1, please. We'll see that God obviously refers to us as His children because we've been adopted into His family at salvation, right? So go to 1 Peter 1. Most of us know the Bible says, as many as received Him, to them may be power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1 and verse 12. So that's us. We are now the children of God, the sons of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at these next three words. As obedient children. God's talking to us. As obedient children. Now go back to the Gospel of John, please, chapter 13. And Jesus even spoke to His disciples when He was washing their feet here in John chapter 13 and giving them an example of servanthood, having a servant's heart. Notice He says 13:13 of John, He says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. He says to the disciples, you refer to me as your Master and as your Lord. That's a good thing because I am your Master and your Lord. He says, I'm not correcting you. And then He went on to say, and I as your Master and Lord am giving you an example of servanthood. But the point here is, He's saying you're accurate in referring to me as Master and Lord. So then we go over to chapter 14, go over there where He's still in the upper room with His disciples. And notice what He says to them, verse 15 of 14. He says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Obey. Obey me. Sounds very similar to Deuteronomy, doesn't it? Obey. If you will obey, I'll bless you. If you disobey, I won't bless you. So that covenant, though it is different for us, because our salvation is sealed until the day of redemption. We have the Holy Ghost living in us. And in some ways, it's still the same. It's a covenant of obedience that we essentially made an agreement with God the day we got saved that Jesus Christ is now our Lord. And if Jesus Christ is our Lord, then we made a covenant with God that we would treat Him as our Lord, which means we would obey. Go to 1 Corinthians 6 now, verse 19, where again, the Bible teaches that we belong to Him. So not only is He our Master and our Lord, He actually owns us. So in that sense, we're more of a slave than a servant. Now it's one of those words we don't like to hear, but it's okay to be a slave to Jesus because He's a perfect Master and never makes any mistakes and only does what's best for us. But notice 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." So the day that we got saved, we entered into a covenant and we said, "Lord, I belong to You. You've purchased me with Your blood, so my body and my spirit are now Yours. You are my Lord. You are my Master. You actually have bought me." Just like in Old Testament days, people could buy a slave, a master could buy a slave. God bought us with His blood, and we became His servant or slave. That's the covenant that we entered into to obey God. So go back to our passage now, Jeremiah 11, and here's what happened. Verse 10. "They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers." What's the covenant? Obey. Israel said, "We will obey." That's the covenant. The day we got saved, we said, "Jesus, You're now my Master. You're now my Lord." We entered into a covenant. A covenant of obedience. The Bible tells us, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And so verse 11, he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them." Remember way back in Deuteronomy? If you will obey, blessings. If you will disobey, curse. And so here God is saying, because you have, verse 10, broken my covenant, verse 11, I will bring evil upon you. Not blessings, evil. But it gets even deeper and harder than this. Look at verse 14. God is actually speaking to Jeremiah directly now. Look what he says. "Therefore, pray not thou for this people." So the last thing we want to do is break the covenant to the point where God says this, "I'm not going to hear your prayers anymore." Say, all that would never happen. It can. Isaiah 59, "Your iniquities have separated between you and God that He will not hear." And yes, our prayers are hindered when we're living in sin, when we're living in disobedience. The Bible says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me," in Psalm 66:18. So we don't want to get there. We don't want to go that direction. Go to 2 Chronicles. We'll see another example, chapter 36. And again, this is talking about right in the thick of it when Israel was in living in disobedience with their wicked king. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 16. Essentially, the end of what we call the historical section of the Old Testament. Because from here we go to Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then right into Job, Psalms, Proverbs. So this is like the end of the Samuels and the Kings and the Chronicles. We're right at the very end of that section. And look what it says, verse 16. "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised His words and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy." That's pretty sad. Till there was no remedy. In other words, there was no turning back. The chastisement was going to come, and there was no stopping it. Till there was no remedy. So somebody would look at that and say, "Well, that just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like the way God works. He's merciful, He's gracious, He's loving, and He is all of those things." But go back to our passage. After he says, "Pray not," down to verse 20, he says, "But O Lord, O host of hosts, Thou judgest righteously." God is also a God of judgment. And when God judges, He always does it right. He does the right thing. We are all going to face the judgment seat of Christ, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about when God exercises chastisement upon us because we deserve it, because we've broken His covenant, God is doing the right thing. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 11, we'll see this for Christians, that God wants us to essentially judge ourselves so that He doesn't have to judge us with chastisement. In other words, when we do break His covenant, and let's face it, we do every day, God says, please deal with it so I don't have to. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So notice what God's saying there. He says, if you'll take care of it yourself, then I don't have to. If daily you'll bring your sins before me and confess them and repent, if you'll keep short accounts, then I won't have to step in with, as it says there in verse 32, chastisement. In other words, we can avoid the chastisement if we will judge ourselves in light of the covenant that we've made, which is to obey and live for God. But if we break our covenant of obedience, God is saying that He has every right to step in and chastise us when we need it. And that, of course, is in Hebrews 12. Let's turn there. But God has promised that He loves us so much that He's going to be a good Father, and that when we need it, when we break His covenant, He will chastise us. Just like with our own children, when they break our covenant of obedience as a parent, we typically will lay out the rules and say, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. So when we do it, we have no choice but for that to happen. Otherwise, we're not consistent. So notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If we break our covenant of obedience and we don't deal with it, God will righteously judge. Not to send us to hell, hallelujah. That was taken care of at Calvary. Praise God. But to correct us, to get us back on the path, so that we will listen, so that we will obey and follow the covenant. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus loves us so much that He chastens us when we need it. That's all part of the covenant. So they broke His covenant. Go back to our passage. We'll finish there in Jeremiah 11. And God told them, since you've broken it and broken it and broken it, now you have to suffer the consequences. And as He says in verse 11, I'll bring evil upon them. Verse 14, pray not for this people. And verse 22, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. Pretty simple logic. We made a covenant with God to obey, to make Jesus Lord of our lives. When we disobey, God is saying, deal with it, or I will. Because you've broken my covenant, and if you force me to, I will have to chastise you. It's not complicated. Now, the good news is, again, heaven's sealed. This isn't talking about heaven or hell. That was settled through Christ's sacrifice and resurrection. So we, as God's people, need to keep our covenant. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. There's no better way to say, I love you to God, than through obedience. That's it. That's what the Scriptures say over and over. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's keep our covenant that Jesus Christ is our Master and our Lord, and that we will obey Him. Because He will keep His side. And if we continually disobey and not deal with it, then He'll deal with it. Let's pray.